Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Happy Friday out there. No Danny, no Dusty. A best of edition here on July 5th on 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. Also streaming on YouTube today. Hope y'all are enjoying your extended weekend. We've been listening to some segments talking Blazers and actually just got into their interview with Ian Carmel that they did earlier this year, getting now into the segment talking about his book that he was promoting before the sale, now actually out, called T-Shirt Swim Club. Let's hear what Ian Carmel has to tell Danny and Dusty about that. Ian Carmel is in studio with us. He has a second show that he's going to be, he's added to his stop here in Portland, March 23rd, Revolution Hall. Going, you can get tickets right there on iancarmel.com, right?
No, not on iancarmel.com. Oh, go to my Instagram or Twitter, or go to Revolution Hall's website.
Perfect.
And it'll link you right to it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You also have a book coming out.
Yes.
It comes out hardcover.
It's called If I Did It. It's where I speculate on if I was the one who committed the O.J. Simpson murders.
Okay.
So it's just like how I would have done it as a 7-year-old if I was in Los Angeles at the time.
At the time? Boy, that
with giant gloves on.
That's right. Yeah, huge Bruno Mali shoes. Yeah,
they would not have fit in the opposite way. They would have been far too large for you.
Well, nobody knew I was there, and that's what made it the perfect crime.
You just had Mickey Mouse hands,
right?
Instead,
people were like, "He's at Bethany Elementary School right now. How could he have murdered Nicole Brown Simpson?" But I did.
You also have, I guess, another book called T-Shirt Swim Club.
My second work. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, your second work that's coming out.
Second foray into the literary world.
That's right. Yeah,
which is it's a really cool idea because you didn't just do it by yourself.
Yeah.
You wrote a book with your sister.
Yeah, I wrote it with my little sister. So it's called T-Shirt Swim Club, and it's 13 essays about... I'm fat now. I remain fat, but I used to be much fatter. I weighed like 420 pounds at my heaviest, and I was that big for a couple of years. But I was a fat kid. I was a fat teenager, fat young adult, like fat every step of the way. So I wrote 13 essays about that, kind of a memoir and essay form, where I talk about being a fat kid, fat in high school, dating while I was a fat dude, and then also about like losing weight and the reality of that, and then also like maintaining the weight loss and stuff like that. This isn't a weight loss book, but it's more of like my experience as a fat person. My little sister has struggled with her health related to her weight as well. She lost a bunch of weight the same time I did. I dealt with being fat by becoming a stand-up comedian. She became a clinical psychologist, so she's a doctor. And I would write these essays, and then she responds to them. So you get, like, the funny, and then she comes in after and says, like, okay, here's how my brother is absolutely full of it. Here's what, like, was actually going on. Here's what people go through when, like, here's what life is like for fat kids, and here's, like, some strategies to, you know, help yourself relate to them. So what we kind of wanted to do was, like, as a fat guy, the dream was always, like, if I could only find a fat doctor, then I would start going to the doctor, mm-hmm. right? Because when you're fat and you go to the doctor, you could walk in with a samurai sword sticking out of your torso, and he'd be like, you have to lose weight. You know, I'm like, okay, but what about the sword? He's like, let's do the fat thing first. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter. And, then you don't go to the doctor. You're full of shame. You never think about it. You stick your head in the sand so you don't have to deal with the actual health implications. At least that's what I did. You know, until it was like...
You tugged the shirt.
I tugged the shirt, right? Exactly.
We talked about this in Vegas.
Right. I would pull down on the shirt. I would try to make it long enough to cover my belly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it waited until it was almost too late. I thought I was having a heart attack. I was standing on the street with 911 dialed into my phone. Where I'm like, if my heart slows down at all, I'm not going to hit it. And I didn't hit it, but I went to the doctor that night. I had a blood pressure that started with 200.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? So, like, I was like, oh, my God. I really walked up to the... you know, cliff's edge here on this one. And I almost waited until it was too late to actually do that. So in this book, we wanted to write, you know, for people who were fat kids, who are fat adults, who have fat people in their lives, or even if you just like want to read a funny memoir, but we wanted to be something that like comes at you with like empathy and understanding, but also humor and intelligence and not like this kind of where it's only body positive, where it's like, you're beautiful no matter what. You are beautiful no matter what, but also, and you can be fat when you're healthy, but we wanted to be like, listen, there are health concerns that can be part of this, and we need to be real about that as well. Mm-hmm. But we need to be real from someone who's gone through it, yeah. Not some doctor who's had a six-pack since he was rowing at Harvard, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. When you come into that, and selfishly, I've always wanted to write a book. I'm a terrible writer, but I've always told, you know, my wife, like, at some point in time, I want to like have something that I can write about.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was that process for you when you just like, I know you write jokes and you write comedy and you write for Corden for what, 7 years? Like, you write religiously.
Right.
But it is a different thing to write that.
It's an entirely different process. I was lucky because I wrote for the Portland Mercury for a few years, so I was used to like churning out 500-word columns, mm-hmm. but then this is like, hey, 100,000-word book. That's quite
Have
a
fun.
Different... Yeah, right, exactly. They call writing, selling a book, it's like a pie-eating contest, mm-hmm. where the prize is more pie. That's what writing a book is. Where it's like, did you enjoy that? Because that means you just get to do a whole lot more of it. But I, to be honest, I loved it. Mm. I really, really loved it in a way that I didn't think I was going to. But, you know, you sit down at a coffee shop and you open your laptop.
Did you do the coffee shop?
I went to a coffee shop. Yeah. I can't write at home because my Xbox is sitting right there. And
that's,
I'm like,
that's a fair temptation.
Dude, it's so real. I'm like,
I could take a little break 3 hours later.
I could finish this chapter on how Fat Bastard, you know, made me feel as a little fat kid. Mm-hmm. Or I could take the Blazers to a championship, you know, with Scoot as a rookie. Like, it's like one or the other thing. So I would have to go to a coffee shop and write. And but you'd sit there and like, luckily there's great books about writing. And Stephen King has this one where he says his rule is he writes 2,000 words a day.
Yeah.
No matter what. He doesn't write a word more. And if he finishes a book 400 words into it, he writes the first 1,600 pages of the next book, right? Wow. So that's a little crazy. I didn't quite do that, but I was like, every time I sit down to write, I'm going to try to get to 2,000 words. And you kind of like sketch an outline for yourself. You're like, I know I want this chapter to be about my time in middle school when I had a gym teacher who made me run the vault. I went to middle school, what? Meadow Park Middle School, and we had this gym teacher who was this dude like from the 70s, mustache, super fit, like tight t-shirt, tucked into sweatpants.
So you right now?
It's me right now, right exactly, yeah. But like fit, like really fit. He could probably do like a back handspring like in his 60s.
Oh, God.
But he was like this guy who he's like, I'm going to treat all the kids the same, and that includes fat kids, right? Mm. In an effort to be like, you know what, that's not an excuse. I believe in you. You're going to do it, right? Mm. So we had this, like, you know, a vault, like yeah. a gymnastics vault. You run down a runway. There's a springboard, and then you go over this vault. I weighed 320 pounds in middle school. I kept telling him, I don't think I should do this for me and for you. And he was like, no, that's no excuse. Everybody runs the vault before the class is over. So it kept dragging on and dragging on and dragging on. And every few classes, he was like, you ready, Carmel? I'm like, I'm not doing it. I choose not to run, you know?
Yeah.
And by the end of it was like, at first it was like funny. And then it kind of got embarrassing because he was like all the time. And it made me feel alone and it made me feel isolated. Yeah. And I was like, I'm the one kid in this class who he keeps picking on to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he wore me down towards the end of the class. I was like, you know what? Fine, let's do it. I'll do it. And he's like, great. I'm going to stand on the other side. I'm going to help catch you and guide you to the mats. I'm like, okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah. So this like 160-pound, you know what I mean, like gym teacher is standing there on the other end. All 320 pounds of me comes rumbling down this, you know.
This seems like the scene out of Old School.
Dude, it was like that. Come rumbling down this like this runway. Mm-hmm. I hit the springboard. I am like launched into the air. It feels amazing for like a moment because I'm like flying through the air. I feel like the Spruce Goose. And I lock eyes midair, I swear to God, with this gym teacher. And it dawns on him for the first time what he has conjured. This thing he has brought
upon
himself.
The math principle of mass times velocity
right.
squared.
Which is
has
like
all of a sudden landed.
All the clapping and the good intentions of the world cannot erase physics. So a 320-pound matzo ball of a missile is like careening towards him, and he can't get out of the way, and I hit him so hard he goes down like a Guess Who tablet. Like he's on the ground like flap, like that fast, and the whole class is clapping, and I stand up, you know, and like they're cheering and I'm cheering, and then he blows his whistle and he's like, class dismissed. It was amazing. And
he had to pack his, not only himself but his pride up in a way that he probably did not anticipate.
Right, exactly. And I like to imagine he didn't make the fat kids run the vault after that, like hopefully, but it was like, you know, that's like a funny story for my middle school, but it's also about
it's also something very, it has a lot of clarity in your life.
Like, a lot of clarity in my yeah. life, and it's also sometimes a way that, like, society treats fat people, which is like, we expect that they will bend themselves to the world rather than the world making room for fat people, mm-hmm. where it's like, you know, that was on a vault in a gym class, but it's also airplane seats, or it's
I was
like,
gonna ask you, do you have an essay on the airplane scene?
There were too many to pick. Like, two. I didn't write an essay about it because there's okay. just like, I mean, I think I mentioned it in a few yeah. different ones, but like, oh my God.
Because that's the one.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's one of the big ones. I always thought, by the way, like, I'm hygienic.
Mm-hmm.
I smell good. Like, I'm a better person to have next to you as a fat person than some skinny dude. Because, like, my entire torso is made out of memory foam. It's like, cuddle
you,
up.
You just kind of dig in there a little
this
bit.
This doesn't yeah. have to be weird. Yeah. Take a nap. You know what I mean? Rest your weary
not
body.
A lot of nerves in there.
No. Snuggle in there.
Pretend like
grab a
happening.
Handful. Yeah, go to bed.
I think it's a great concept for the book, too, because you get two different ways of approaching the same thing,
yeah.
right? With your sister who
yeah.
gives you the clinical side of it and it goes through it, but also the human aspect of how I think a lot of people address it and think of weight loss.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea for a book. And
thank
now
you.
Now that I'm finding out it's inspired by Stephen King and It, I'm assuming,
yeah.
It's even more. it's even more.
Just the writing process. There are no scary clowns in this book. I guess me. I'm the scary yeah. clown in this book. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to it. June is
June 11th it comes out. Okay. We're going to have a big release day thing at Powell's on June 8th, so actually before it comes out, but
nice.
They knew I loved Portland so much that they were like,
they did a special release
there. We will let you release it early, a few days. And now I already tried to sell you tickets to a show, but if that sounds like a good book for you or for anyone in your life who you'd like to like hand that book to and be like, hey, like, you know, I think this might be something fun for you to read, pre-orders help a lot, and you can go to like, you know, Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of those, or I would prefer you go to like Powell's or bookshop.org, you know, in order so it goes to like a local bookstore. But if that sounds like something you'd like, there's an audiobook coming out as well that I read, hardcover books that you can get, and pre-orders help a ton, which would be amazing.
Is your sister going to be on the audiobook?
Yes, or she is.
Okay. Because no. I didn't know if you were going to imitate your sister's voice.
Whoa, good point, dude. Yeah.
Do you maybe do your own personal edits to what she said about you as well?
So what he is actually trying to say here is...
Maybe now I will. I'll be like, I don't know what happened to your session, Lisa. Maybe they canceled it.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Just keep checking your email. They're going to hold you any minute now. There you go. You want to talk some Blazers?
I would love to talk some Blazers.
Look, Ian Carmel.
You've been in town for some fantastic games.
Some real corkers.
Yeah. I mean, and you were the human detour last night. Of the basketball game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you even knew that you were, they're like, bad news, DeAndre Ayton out. Good news, here's Ian Carmel.
Yeah, God. I'm like, can he go in and take some minutes from Joao Reed? Like, turns out, no. I had no idea, because I was in the arena where they're not like, hey, Ayton's not coming back. They don't tell us. So you're like, I hope he has diarrhea. And that's why he hasn't come out yet. Because like it all fell apart when he didn't come out.
We'll talk about the Blazers, the future, and how Blazers' number one comedian fan feels about. Well, you're the number one celebrity fan at this point.
Unless you can get Katie Lang on the horn, I think it's me.
Ian Carmel in studio next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
No, Danny and Dusty, a best of edition here on a Yacht Rock Friday following July 4th. Hope you're all enjoying the very, very hot temperatures out there, along with Danny and Dusty. We are in the middle of an interview with Ian Carmel, Portland's own very, very funny man, talking Blazers, talking his new book. Let's dive right back into that interview Danny and Dusty did with Ian Carmel earlier this year.
We've got Ian Carmel in studio with us. You were at the last two Blazer games.
Yes, I was. I was at the Charlotte Hornets game, maybe the worst game I've ever seen in my entire life.
And it was then, a hard watch.
And then the Miami Heat one, which was a lot more fun, even though we lost that at the end.
How are you feeling about the rebuild? Because we've talked about this quite a bit. There were a lot of fans that we, you know, I know you saw it on Twitter.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Trade Dame, reset, it's time to rebuild. And those same people are not about that life now that
I
that
know.
Has come to fruition. How are you feeling about the rebuild?
I was, you know what, I was on the, if it's time to, or if Dame wants to leave, it's time to trade Dame kind of yeah. thing, where it's like he gave us so much. And I was like, yo, if he wants to go, happy to see him go. I want us to get the most in return for that package, but given the contract left. But like, this is exactly what I expected. This is what this looks like. You know what I mean? Like, yep. I'm a little bummed out that Shaedon Sharpe is out for the season. That is a setback, obviously,
yeah.
for how you picture it going. Scoot being hurt intermittently here and there is also a bummer. But I never got worried about Scoot's development. You know, I was like, this is probably what it looks like when you're a point guard. I also...
And a 19-year-old point guard?
19-year-old. Coming out of G League Ignite, which I'm starting to think more and more is maybe the worst place for a player to come out of?
The NBA is going to, they are going to force a restructuring of that because it's just.
They need to nuke it.
You know,
it's like, or
it's
or
a good, it's a good place, but they can't do what they did this year, which is have like eight kids.
Yeah.
Because they've won four games. Like, so they're going into like small gyms and getting the crap kicked out of them by grown men. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's not helping anyone.
It's bad. You're getting the crap kicked out of you, and you're not, it's like AAU on steroids where you're like, it's a lot of people operating for themselves
mm-hmm.
where. Like I want these guys to get paid, but now they can get paid going to Duke. You know what I mean? So it's like, go get coached up, learn how to play in a system. Like mm-hmm. So Scoot, who I think is an amazing dude and going to be an amazing basketball player, like I just think that was also like a big setback where it's like we have to grade that man on a curve because he's trying to be a true point guard who is coming out of like maybe the worst place for a true point guard to come out of.
It truly is because of what you're talking about that – It is every man for himself because they're trying to make their name
yeah.
to vault up draft boards, and it's just not working out.
No.
It's just not working out.
You need to be with a couple dudes who are pretty sure they're going to be dentists.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like a couple guys who are going to set screens and shoot threes and stuff like that. You know, get a periodontist on your wing,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, and one team also has to have the guy who we all know is going to be the guy at the bar like 10 years down there will be like, yeah, I played with him in college.
Oh, absolutely.
I played with him in college.
Who's so flabby that you're like, how did that happen between like now and in those last 10 years? But then he stands up and he's like 6'6", and you're like, maybe.
Okay, yeah. I could see it. If I squint, I can see it.
That dude just cooking people at 24-hour fitness, you know, that guy out there playing in Crocs. Yeah.
Are you still as committed, or do you find yourself checking in and out on the season?
I, if I'm being 100% honest, probably watch fewer games than I did during the Halcyon days.
See, and that's normal.
Yeah.
Like, that's the natural progression. You check in, you check out.
Yep, and part of it is being married, too, where I'm like, if things are going well, I'm like, my wife will sit down, and like, you know, when it was Damian Lillard cooking people, you know, or like close games where it's like, oh, this is really exciting. But when it's us down by 15 to Salt Lake City in the fourth quarter, it's a little harder to be like this instead of, you know, Shogun or like whatever it is you want to watch. And she's just like, she sits down, opens her laptop and sighs really heavily. And I'm like, all right, we'll turn off the Blazers.
See,
you're making choices. You're investing in the relationship.
Exactly
there.
Right. Yeah. I would like, rather be married and watch a couple fewer Blazer
yeah.
games than divorced and seeing all 82.
And
right
that's
now.
The thing is like yeah. you look at the where they're at right now and are you at the point yet of like, this is, I can't do this.
No, I'm fully, I'm like, this is, I like, am completely aware of the reality of what this situation
yeah.
is going to be. I'm like, yeah. And I'm also happy we kept Brogdon.
Mm-hmm.
I think like that's so much better for Scoot to have like an actual very competent point guard. Because, like, who can take those minutes maybe against the first-line starters on the other team, and then Scoot can come in
mm-hmm.
and not only learn how to play against elite competition, but if he's playing against the team's backup point guard, I think it's good for him to have some dominant moments.
Yeah.
Get a taste of that. And yeah, man, like it's exciting enough for me when it's like Jeremy, Ayton, and Simon's out there cooking people. I'm like, this is cool.
Which you had last night until DA goes down.
Until DA goes down. Yeah. So we have like, I know people who are maybe a little more diluted are like looking at it like we're going to be Houston next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also now you see Houston kind of tailing off mm-hmm. and like ending up more around play-in 500 basketball team. And it's like, well, that might be asking for a bit much. But at the same time, we do have those pieces there. I wish this draft was better.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're sitting fourth right now.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Do you feel like there's any pressure right now in the organization? I mean, I'm sure you saw the TV stuff
yeah.
that popped up. Do you feel like there's any pressure on the organization right now to make not the move, but a move this offseason?
A move being like go get us a big player?
Like go get a guy like the next guy. Not maybe the next Dame, but like
yeah.
a guy that you're like, "Yep, That's a guy you see on this team for the next 5 to 7 years.
I don't think we are a bit like I think the assets we have that would be required to go get that would be like okay you have to trade Sharp and Scoot if you want to go get the kind of player we're talking about or at least one of those dudes in all of our picks.
Mm-hmm.
And if that guy maybe if whoever that hypothetical player is on like a 5-year contract, you know what I mean? But who is that? Is it like oh Cleveland has decided that they can't succeed with Donovan Mitchell and mm-hmm. Darius Garland. Donovan Mitchell re-signed, so like Garland's on the market.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, maybe you look at that and you're like, are we getting the next Tyrese Halliburton? Let's grab that dude
yeah.
and like have him throwing lobs to Ayton and Jeremy Grant, and that looks like a pretty good basketball team. At the same time, I've been a Blazer fan my whole life, and I've been like, this team has always succeeded when we get our best players through the draft. Mm-hmm.
And from small schools.
And from small schools, yeah. Because we don't, because like, you know, millionaire 23-year-old black dudes don't want to come live in Portland.
Shockingly.
And I get it, man. I completely understand. They're not wrong. It sucks for us. Like we had CJ McCollum. He loves wine, you know, and that worked out for as long as it could.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Damian, one of my favorite conversations with young Blazers is when I build enough trust with them to be like, so what was it really like when you got here?
And yeah.
Like, yeah, it was a...
It's got to be so disorienting.
I mean, Scoot comes from Georgia.
Yeah, man. We are a long way from Georgia. The only thing we have in common is like farm-to-table restaurants. And like outside of that, it's like a completely different like environment.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. So yeah. It's like...
And strip clubs.
Yes, that's a great point. But remember, he can't go yet. Legally.
He can't go. Right, exactly. You know? Oh, isn't that crazy? He has to go to Jiggles.
Which doesn't exist.
It's gone?
Yeah. Oh, the jig is gone, dude.
Yeah, they turned that into a Cracker Barrel. And then that
it was kind of a Cracker Barrel back in the day, too. Yeah.
It's a Cracker Barrel, LA Fitness, and a Cabela's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are the only three things powerful enough to take Jiggles'
place. Yes.
Wow, that's just hit
that
me
$20
like
that. Cover just it wasn't enough to sustain.
That hit me like a brick. I don't know where to get juice now.
Right?
Yeah.
Where are you going to get a cranberry juice for $12 now?
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I assume it was high-quality cranberry juice. You're right, Whole Foods.
I think that's the place that you get it now. Yeah. All right. We appreciate your time, man. Thank you for carving out so much for us.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I would hang out all day and talk Blazers. What are you guys talking about next?
Do you want to hang out more?
Do you have
anywhere to go?
I got
to
go meet my dad.
It's 1:15 right now.
I got one more segment.
Okay.
You got one more segment. We got one more Perfect. Segment with Ian.
Yeah.
There is a pro tip, though. Your wife knows how passionate you are about the Blazers.
Yes.
Yep, she's not listening.
No.
She's a teacher. She's in school. What you do is in a season like this, you're like, you know, I'm not going to watch the Blazer game.
Yeah.
You make it the big deal.
You
like,
bank it for later.
Hey, oh, that's a great idea.
You know, especially in a game where you see it coming.
Yeah.
Like where you see all the starters are out, you're like, mm-mm.
If the Blazers are playing Boston on the second of a back-to-back, and you see the writing on the wall, you go, you know what?
We can watch the highlights.
Let's watch a show. What do you want to do tonight?
Right.
What do you want to watch?
I'm like, Ashton Haggins is starting. Yeah. I'm like, let's go see a movie.
Yeah, let's go. And you build up those credits for when the Blazers get good, and you go back to being the degenerate basketball fan that we all are.
I'm going to implement this the second I get back to LA.
Yeah. It's because I know your wife isn't listening to this right now either. We're good. Circle of trust here.
She's in LA. She's only a good times Blazer fan. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Chicago. So, like, she was spoiled. She, like, had the Michael Jordan Bulls growing up. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
Gross.
Awful. Probably going to divorce her.
I'm so jealous of that.
I know, me too.
I'm so
every time I look at
that.
All you know is winning.
That's it.
It's not because I'm mad at it. It's because I'm jealous of
every June you have to like redo your schedule because there's a parade going down Michigan Avenue, and you're like, nah.
Although the Bulls have been woeful other than so those bad. Teams. You know, it's been like a, but yeah, other than Michael Jordan.
All right, Ian Carmel continues with us. This is 1080 The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Happy Friday, everybody. A best of edition of Danny and Dusty on this July 5th. Very, very hot out there. Make sure you stay cool. Hope you're enjoying your extended weekend as Danny and Dusty are. We're playing the Ian Carmel interview that they did with him earlier this year. We'll wrap up that interview with the final segment. He gets into some inside baseball stuff. I love it. Some Blazers in-game operations secrets, as well as some of the worst and best late night hosts that he's had to contend with. This is probably the best part of the entire interview with Ian Carmel.
Thank you for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And my apologies to anyone who can't stand me.
Oh, yeah.
I never apologize for that.
No, this is exactly what we live with.
Yeah.
You know, this is why we have the Vancouver Ford text line.
That's right.
And it's so people can tell us every day, unabashedly, how they feel about
it. Tell me which bridge you'd like to throw me off of. Hashtag Ian Carmel.
You did a nice selection.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty shitty. You throw me off the one to Vancouver. Let me know.
You know, actually, we do have a question for you.
Oh, great.
And well, P1 Rufio says, can we please have Carmel on more often?
Oh, thank you, P1 Rufio.
So there we go.
Yeah.
This is a question for Ian. I've been riding the Blazers' money line since the losing streak started.
Yeah.
It has to end eventually. Should I keep going? Or just call the hotline now.
Wow. Winless for the month of February.
First winless month in franchise history.
Yeah. I don't see it getting much better.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost the game to the Hornets.
To the Hornets.
Which,
and now Ayton's going to be out for longer than he probably would have if we were doing well.
Yeah, even then, like, he did hurt it last night. Like,
it's dude, not,
people were, like, worried, like, oh, they're tank. I'm like, no, dude. 7-foot man fell very far and landed on wrist underneath him.
You could tell for the rest of the game he was not moving right.
He hesitated on his. He still played really well when he came back in.
Yeah.
But yeah,
maybe that's the thing. Maybe we just need to sort of, like jab him with a fork every now and then.
Just cattle prod him.
Keep him angry, you know?
I like that. Little Hulk.
I think.
Yeah.
I'm always angry kind of situation.
Hulk dynamics,
I like
it. Yeah.
I think if you've been riding the money line on the losing streak, the next game, the calendar turns. So then you just take your winnings and you restart the month of March on that money line losing streak.
Yeah.
That seems like the responsible thing to do there.
Has he been betting against the Blazers?
Yes, he has.
Oh, baby, keep it rolling. Keep it rolling.
I had a guy in front of me who put $5,000 on the Heat at halftime.
Smart man.
Yeah. And so I was watching them. He's like showing me his phone. Like, seriously.
What was the spread at that point?
4.5.
Oh.
So they.
Easy money,
yeah,
baby.
They cashed in.
Wow.
Yeah. They were having a good night.
Did he see the Ayton injury and then go?
Yeah.
Or was he? Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Because the Blazers didn't announce anything. And if Wop's just out on the floor, the casinos aren't going to get that line that fast.
No, so you got in ahead of time.
He got in. He's a true degenerate.
The Blazers should float that out when they're trying to move tickets now, where they're like, you're not going to see.
Get the insides ahead of the lines before Vegas. Yeah.
But watch which Blazer comes up a little gimpy.
Pay close attention. Come here next.
Yeah.
You're going to start traveling with the team now.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like.
You're the signal flare they put up right before they. And Anthony Simons has a knee injury.
Yeah.
Now, Ian Carmel.
It's actually brilliant. I mean, it is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, just like. Make it entertaining if it's going to go sideways, and you and Brooke did that last night.
Oh, my God. What? How about Brooke, though, huh?
She's the best.
What a treasure.
She was sitting in that chair on Monday.
Yeah. And, oh, right over here. That's right.
Right where you were at. She was in the chair on Monday, and we were talking about, you know, what it's like when you go through a season that is tough. And her and Kevin and Lamar do an incredible job.
Oh, my God.
Of making it entertaining, because I can't imagine how difficult that is.
Well, I always say, so like when I was on the Late Late Show, you know, most of the time we'd have like amazing guests and I can't believe I'm going to say, they're never going to find out about this.
Yeah.
You have amazing guests. You know what I mean? It's like.
Sometimes you don't.
Tom Hanks is on the show and it's easy, right? Like James could just sit there, lean back in his chair, whatever. We had Brooklyn Beckham on the show, David Beckham's son, who in it like. He's a very sweet guy, but he's like tried to be a photographer. Mm-hmm. He has a photography book. It's terrible. There's like a bad picture of an elephant in there that's like not lit at all. He's like bad, like hard to get a good picture of an elephant, but pretty cool though. Like that's what the caption is.
Yeah.
That's the, he put that caption in there. He's like, this is a bad picture, but I got to see an elephant. Like good for you, child of two millionaires. But so he's tried to do that. He's tried to be a personal stylist. He like had an advice column. He's like the ultimate Nepo baby.
Gotcha.
Right? And he's so sweet that everyone keeps like rooting for him. But one of his eras was trying to be a chef.
Oh.
So he came on the show to try to do a cooking segment, which is already one of the hardest things you can do in television.
It takes up so much space and time and
huge
staging
space.
It. And it's a nightmare.
Right. There's not a lot of food. You already have to be like, you have to be Gordon Ramsay or Emeril Lagasse. You have to be like good enough at TV that could be your only job and also a good enough cook to make sure the food cooks. Brooklyn Beckham was not good enough at either of those things. He just wasn't. He's not great at TV. He's not a good cook. And James Corden was the guy, our host, was like cooking with him. And it was the most impressive thing I've ever seen James do because he turned that segment into something watchable.
Just pure gold.
Because Brooklyn was giving him negative anything. It was just like sucking the energy out of the room.
Going full energy vampire.
Right, going full energy vampire. And Corden was like, I felt like I watched Jordan's flu game. Like I went over to him after the segment, just like clapping. And I took him aside after the show and I'm like, it's not the carpools with Adele. That's not why you make the big bucks.
No, it's these.
It's this one. It's this Wednesday in February where you made watchable television, where you made, you know, chicken salad out of chicken poop, you know, kind of thing. And that's what Brooke and Kevin and Lamar, to a lesser extent, you know, the Blazers aren't that bad. But like,
I told Brooke this in referencing another comedian here. They were on that absolutely horrid trip.
Yeah.
And they're in New York against the Knicks. They're getting slaughtered.
Oh, yeah.
And you know TV works. You've got your promos and your throws and your ad reads and everything else. They had one, but instead of like going on time, it was middle of the action. The Knicks are coming down the floor. Calabro just rips into Bill Burr, February 22nd, the Moda Center. It's just, I bet you that'll be a great show. Like as the Knicks are running down the paint for another dunk and knowing kind of how TV works. Yeah. I've got tears running down my face. I'm laughing so hard because that's like, gold.
Might as well.
Yeah, that's exactly. He just threw it up and just like that is going to stick with me forever because it was just such a perfectly poignant thing in that moment.
Speaking of respecting people at the Blazers, Todd Bosma, the guy.
The best in the world at it.
The best in the world.
It's not even close.
When I was doing that stuff with the Blazers to introduce Doug Fir, the new mascot, right? So we shot these sketches and then the last reveal was like a live in arena thing.
Yeah.
And I forget who the Blazers were playing, but we had like, we were up 14. This was last season. Dame was still on the team. And so like at the beginning of the game, they're like, first time out of the third quarter, that's when you go out. Mm-hmm. And that's your spot, no matter what. And you hope it's after the Blazers just go on a big run.
They're up 20.
They're up 20. The other team calls a timeout. The arena's jacked. People are stoked. But instead, we blew a 12-point lead. We were down two. Dame got teched up. Timeout. The whole arena's booing the refs. And they're like, go. So I have to walk out there and do this skit to introduce the Doug Fir mascot, who I think people have warmed to now, but at the time,
people
were like, no.
Yeah.
No, thank you. You're taking away Dame and giving us Bigfoot? Like, no, absolutely not. So I was out there like trying to make this thing work while people are like raining down booze, not on us. But not on us.
Yeah, no.
And you're like
tangential boost.
Tangential boost.
But there may have been a couple who were like, no, Blaze for life.
Get both of these guys. Bring me Bill Burr and Blaze. Yeah. And so, like, you have to do it then. And, like, in that moment, I already respected what Todd and the Game Ops team does already. But, like, in that moment, I was like, oh, so you got to get your stuff off no matter what's going on.
You got benchmarks to hit. And the thing is, I League Pass.
Yeah.
I've tweeted this out because I've seen every team.
Yeah.
He's better than all of them. But it's not even close.
He's like, not corny. A lot of them are like corny.
Oh, all right, let's go, guys. Like, it's fake energy. And it's just so, it's tacky.
He's just a regular, he's just a real dude.
And he's been doing it for 25 years.
And one of my favorites is when you get the tic-tac-toe and you just hear, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. Like there's the oh no. And it happens once a month. Yeah. Once a month you'll get that with the tic-tac-toe and it's okay. But that's being real about it instead of, oh, we got a big game here.
Yes. We'll see.
You blew it.
No, one of the great Blazer highlights of the last decade is that tic-tac-toe.
Is the tic-tac-toe meltdown.
Yeah.
Which truly transcendent stuff.
I just can't wait till we finally get the half-court heave. A make.
Casey Holdall
somebody's
going to win
personal
mission.
It's coming.
Because he's just like, why? Why is nobody ever close?
Yeah.
For reference, Casey, there's video evidence of him on the road. First shot, underhand.
We got to get him out there.
Cash.
Conflicts be damned.
And he will get his phone out and film it every single time just so he has got... In case
when
the evidence, when it happens.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen after the Blazers give up a 12-point lead, because nobody will be cheering.
They'll be walking out, looking away, like, nah, whatever.
They'll be sign him. Get the guy on the team.
maybe that's the new halftime trick. If they do blow the lead, it's you get to pick any Blazer. Just come out during that timeout, and they get to shoot it for you.
Have them do it. That should be what it is. Yeah.
Have them shoot it for you.
Come on, like Landmark or whoever's like putting these forwards.
It's Toyota. But it's General Toyota. Northwest Toyota dealers.
Oh, all of the Toyota dealers going in on it? Does Damian Lillard still own that dealership?
He does.
He's out in McMinnville.
He should put a car up. Come on.
I mean,
soften the blow.
They probably don't want that right now.
Yeah, that might be
every good. Game.
When the Bucks come to town, the Damian Lillard Toyota, and that would be the one that they make. It's
Your ex-wife is doing great. Here's her sending you a pity car.
All I got in the divorce was a new car.
Yeah, man, tough.
Well, hey, thank you, man. We really appreciate you for popping in.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was great. Every single time.
All right, let's keep it moving. That was Danny and Dusty with Portland's own Ian Carmel. When we come back, we'll continue this best of edition of Danny and Dusty with a Danny and Rust talk about the Blazers' young core. That's coming up next on 1080 The Fan. A Yacht Rock best of edition of Danny and Dusty here on 1080 The Fan. Happy Friday. Happy post-July 4th. Hope you're all staying cool out there. Danny and Dusty are gone, enjoying the holiday with y'all. And we are playing some segments that they've already done here on 1080 The Fan. Let's dive into a Danny and Rusty conversation about the Blazers' young core now that we know after the NBA draft who is a part of that concerning the additions of Donovan Clingan and Denny Avdija going forward for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Last night on the Jack Ramsey's Patreon, I wrote a semi-in-depth piece coming out of the press conference last night talking about the Portland Trailblazers taking steps to move forward, and it appears that that's kind of been done simply based on how things are shaping up right now. If you take a look at the 24 and under crew, that consists of Scoot Henderson, Shaden Sharp, Denny Avdija, Ryan Rupaire, Tumani Kamara, Jabari Walker, Chris Murray, Donovan Clingan, otherwise known as a point guard, a shooting guard, two forwards, and then three bigger forwards and a center. The remaining players, Anthony Simons, 25, Delano Benton, 25, Jeremy Grant, 30, Matisse Thybulle, 27, DeAndre Ayton, 26, Robert Williams, 3rd, 27, Duop Reith, 28. That appears to be very, very, very clear delineations of the here and now and the future.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it appears that's the way they're going with this. And we played the audio earlier of Joe Cronin talking about going forward with Shaden Sharp and Scoot Henderson. And I think that kind of was the first time we've set that situation. Understanding that the organization has now kind of put that out there, I think we can take the step forward. I think you can say that, you know, Anthony Simons is not necessarily a short timer, but I think you're certainly leaning closer to his time coming to a close.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080. The Fan.
Happy Friday, everybody. A best of edition of Danny and Dusty on this July 5th. Very, very hot out there. Make sure you stay cool. Hope you're enjoying your extended weekend as Danny and Dusty are. We're playing the Ian Carmel interview that they did with him earlier this year. We'll wrap up that interview with the final segment. He gets into some inside baseball stuff. I love it. Some Blazers in-game operations secrets, as well as some of the worst and best late night hosts that he's had to contend with. This is probably the best part of the entire interview with Ian Carmel. Thank you for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And my apologies to anyone who can't stand me.
Oh,
yeah. I never apologize. No,
this is exactly what we live with. Yeah. You know, this is why we have the Vancouver Ford text line.
That's right.
And it's so people can tell us every day, unabashedly, how they feel about it.
Tell me which bridge you'd like to throw me off of. Hashtag Ian Carmel.
You did a nice selection.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty shitty. You throw me off the one to Vancouver. Let me know.
You know, actually, we do have a question for you.
Oh, great.
And well, P1 Rufio says, can we please have Carmel on more often?
Oh, thank you, P1 Rufio.
So there we go.
Yeah.
This is question for Ian. I've been riding the Blazers money line since the losing streak started.
Yeah.
It has to end eventually. Should I keep going? Or just call the hotline now.
Wow. Winless for the month of February.
First winless month in franchise history.
Yeah. I don't see it getting much better.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost the game to the Hornets.
To the Hornets. And now Ayton's going to be out for longer than he probably would have if we were doing well.
Yeah, even then, like, he did hurt it last night. Like, people were, like, worried, like, oh, they're tank. I'm like, no, dude. 7-foot man fell very far and landed on wrist underneath him.
You could tell for the rest of the game he was not moving right.
Yeah, he hesitated on his – he still played really well when he came back in. Yeah, but yeah.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe we just need to sort of, like jab him with a fork every now and then.
Just cattle prod him.
Keep him angry, you know?
I like that. Little Hulk,
I think.
Yeah.
I'm always angry kind of situation.
Hulk dynamics, yeah.
I think if you've been riding the money line on the losing streak, the next game, the calendar turns. So then you just take your winnings and you restart the month of March on that money line losing streak.
Yeah.
That seems like the responsible thing to do there.
Has he been betting against the Blazers?
Yes, he
has. Oh, baby, keep it rolling. Keep it rolling.
I had a guy in front of me who put $5,000 on the Heat at halftime.
Smart man.
Yeah. And so I was watching them. He's like showing me his phone. Like,
what was
seriously.
What was the spread at that point?
4.5.
Oh.
So they
easy money, baby.
They cashed in.
Wow.
Yeah. They were having a good night.
Did he see the Ayton injury and then go? Yeah. Or was he yeah, he did. Yeah. That's smart.
Because the Blazers didn't announce anything, and if Wop's just out on the floor, the casinos aren't going to get that line that fast.
No, so you got in ahead of time.
He got in. He's a true degenerate.
The Blazers should float that out when they're trying to move tickets now, where they're like, you're not going to see.
Get the insides ahead of the lines before Vegas.
But watch which Blazer comes up a little gimpy.
Pay close attention. Come here next.
Yeah.
You're going to start traveling with the team now.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like,
you're the signal flare they put up right before they. And Anthony Simons has a knee injury. Now Ian Carmel.
It's actually brilliant. I mean, it is brilliant. Yeah. I mean, just like make it entertaining if it's going to go sideways. And you and Brooke did that last night.
Oh, my God. What? How about Brooke, though, huh?
She's the best.
What a treasure.
She was sitting in that chair on Monday.
Yeah. And, oh, right over here. That's right.
Right
yeah.
where you were at. She was in the chair on Monday, and we were talking about, you know, what it's like when you go through a season that is tough. And her and Kevin and Lamar do an incredible job.
Oh, my God.
Of making it entertaining, because I can't imagine how difficult that is.
Well, I always say, so like when I was on the Late Late Show, you know, most of the time we'd have like amazing guests and I can't believe I'm going to say, they're never going to find out about this.
Yeah.
You have amazing guests. You know what I mean? It's like,
sometimes you don't.
Tom Hanks is on the show and it's easy, right? Like James could just sit there, lean back in his chair, whatever. We had Brooklyn Beckham on the show, David Beckham's son, who in it, like, he's a very sweet guy, but he's like tried to be a photographer. Mm-hmm. He has a photography book. It's terrible. There's like a bad picture of an elephant in there that's like not lit at all. He's like bad, like hard to get a good picture of an elephant, but pretty cool though. Like that's what the caption is.
Yeah.
That's he put that caption in there. He's like, this is a bad picture, but I got to see an elephant. Like good for you, child of two millionaires. But so he's tried to do that. He's tried to be a personal stylist. He like had an advice column. He's like the ultimate Nepo baby.
Gotcha.
Right? And he's so sweet that everyone keeps like rooting for him. But one of his eras was trying to be a chef.
Oh.
So he came on the show to try to do a cooking segment, which is already one of the hardest things you can do in television.
It takes up so much space and time and
huge
staging
space.
It's a nightmare.
Right. There's not a lot of food. You already have to be like, you have to be Gordon Ramsay or Emeril Lagasse. You have to be like good enough at TV that could be your only job and also a good enough cook to make sure the food cooks. Brooklyn Beckham was not good enough at either of those things. He just wasn't. He's not great at TV. He's not a good cook. And James Corden was the guy, our host, was like cooking with him. And it was the most impressive thing I've ever seen James do, because he turned that segment into something watchable.
Just pure gold.
Because Brooklyn was giving him negative anything. It was just like sucking the energy out of the room.
Going full energy vampire.
Right. Going full energy vampire. And Corden was like, I felt like I watched Jordan's flu game. Like I went over to him after the segment, just like clapping. And I took him aside after the show. And I'm like, it's not the carpools with Adele. That's not why you make the big bucks.
No, it's these.
It's this one. It's this Wednesday in February where you made watchable television, where you made, you know, chicken salad out of chicken poop, you know, kind of thing. And that's what Brooke and Kevin and Lamar, to a lesser extent, you know, the Blazers aren't that bad, but like.
No. I told Brooke this in referencing another comedian here. They were on that absolutely horrid trip.
Yeah.
And they're in New York against the Knicks. They're getting slaughtered.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, TV works. You've got your promos and your throws and your ad reads and everything else. They had one, but instead of like going on time, it was middle of the action. The Knicks are coming down the floor. Calabro just rips into Bill Burr, February 22nd, the Moda Center. And it's just, I bet you that'll be a great show. Like as the Knicks are running down the paint for another dunk, and knowing kind of how TV works. Yeah. And like, I've got tears running down my face. I'm laughing so hard because that's like, gold.
Might as well.
Yeah, that's exactly. You just threw it up and just like that is going to stick with me forever because it was just such a perfectly poignant thing in that moment.
Speaking of respecting people at the Blazers, Todd Bosma, the guy,
the best in the world at it.
The best in the world.
It's not even close.
When I was doing that stuff with the Blazers to introduce Doug Fir, the new mascot, right? So we shot these sketches, and then the last reveal was like a live in arena thing.
Yeah.
And the I forget who the Blazers were playing, but we had like, we were up 14. This was last season. Dame was still on the team. And so, like, at the beginning of the game, they're like, first time out of the third quarter, that's when you go out. Mm-hmm. And that's your spot, no matter what. And you hope it's after the Blazers just go on a big run.
They're up 20.
Yeah. They're up 20. The other team calls a timeout. The, you know, the arena's jacked. People are stoked. But instead, we blew a 12-point lead. We were down two. Dame got teched up. Timeout. Whole arena's booing the refs. And they're like, go. So I have to walk out there and do this skit to introduce this the Doug Fir mascot, who I think people are, have warmed to now, but at the time,
people
were like, no.
Yeah.
No, thank you. You're taking away Dame and giving us Bigfoot? Like, no, absolutely not. So I was out there like trying to make this thing work while people are like raining down booze, not on us. But not on us.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Are you like
tangential boost.
Tangential boost.
But there may have been a couple who were like, no, Blaze for life.
Get both of these guys. Bring me Bill Burr and Blaze. Yeah. And so, like, you have to do it then. And, like, in that moment, I already respected what Todd and the Game Ops team does already. But, like, in that moment, I was like, oh, so you got to get your stuff off no matter what's going on.
You got benchmarks to hit. And the thing is, League Pass,
yeah.
I've tweeted this out because I've seen every team.
Yeah.
He's better than all of them. But it's not even close.
He's like, not corny. A lot of them are like corny.
Oh, all right, let's go, guys. Like, it's fake energy. And it's just so, it's tacky.
He's just a regular, he's just a real dude.
And he's been doing it for 25 years.
And one of my favorites is when you get the tic-tac-toe and you just hear, Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. Like there's the oh no. And it happens once a month. Yeah. Once a month you'll get that with the tic-tac-toe and it's okay. But that's being real about it instead of, oh, we got a big game here.
Yeah. No, close. We'll see.
You blew it.
No. One of the great Blazer highlights of the last decade is that tic-tac-toe.
Is the tic-tac-toe meltdown.
Yeah.
Which truly transcendent stuff.
I just can't wait till we finally get the half court heave. A make.
Casey Holdall.
Somebody's
going to
win
personal mission. He is.
It's coming.
Because he's just like, why? Why is nobody ever close?
Yeah.
For reference, Casey. There's video evidence of him on the road. First shot, underhand.
We got to get him out there.
Cash.
Conflicts be damned.
Like, and he will get his phone out and film it every single time, just so he has got. In case
when
the evidence, when it happens.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen after the Blazers give up a 12-point lead, because nobody will be cheering.
They'll be walking out looking away like, nah, whatever.
They'll be sign him. Get the guy on the team.
maybe that's the new halftime trick. If they do blow the lead, it's you get to pick any Blazer. Just come out during that timeout, and they get to shoot it for you.
Have them do it. Yeah, that should be what it is. Yeah.
Have them shoot it for you.
Come on, like Landmark or whoever's like putting these forward.
It's Toyota.
Toyota.
But it's General Toyota. Northwest Toyota dealers.
Oh, all of the Toyota dealers going in on it? Does Damian Lillard still own that dealership?
He does.
He's out in McMinnville.
McMinnville.
Yeah. Yeah.
He should put a car up. Come on.
I mean,
soften the blow.
They probably don't want that right now.
Yeah, that might be
every game.
When the Bucks come to town, the Damian Lillard Toyota, and that would be the one that they make. It's oh,
your ex-wife is doing great. Here's her sending you a pity car.
All I got in the divorce was a new car.
Yeah, man, tough.
Well, hey, thank you, man. We really appreciate you for popping in.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was
great.
Every single time.
All right, let's keep it moving. That was Danny and Dusty with Portland's own Ian Carmel. When we come back, we'll continue this best of edition of Danny and Dusty with a Danny and Rust talk about the Blazers' young core. That's coming up next on 1080 The Fan. A Yacht Rock best of edition of Danny and Dusty here on 1080 The Fan. Happy Friday. Happy post-July 4th. Hope you're all staying cool out there. Danny and Dusty are gone, enjoying the holiday with y'all. And we are playing some segments that they've already done here on 1080 The Fan. Let's dive into a Danny and Rusty conversation about the Blazers' young core now that we know after the NBA draft who is a part of that concerning the additions of Donovan Clingan and Denny Avdija going forward for the Portland Trailblazers.
Last night on the Jack Ramsey's Patreon, I wrote a semi-in-depth piece coming out of the press conference last night talking about the Portland Trailblazers taking steps to move forward. And it appears that that's kind of been done simply based on how things are shaping up right now. If you take a look at the 24 and under crew, that consists of Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Denny Avdia, Ryan Rupaire, Tumani Kamara, Jabari Walker, Chris Murray, Donovan Clingan, otherwise known as a point guard, a shooting guard, two forwards, and then three bigger forwards and a center. The remaining players, Anthony Simons, 25, Delano Benton, 25, Jeremy Grant, 30, Matisse Thybulle, 27, DeAndre Ayton, 26, Robert Williams, 3rd, 27, Duop Reith, 28. That appears to be very, very, very clear delineations of the here and now and the future.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it appears that's the way they're going with this. And we've played the audio earlier of Joe Cronin talking about going forward with Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson. And I think that kind of was the first time we've set that situation. Understanding that the organization has now kind of put that out there, I think we can take the step forward. I think you can say that, you know, Anthony Simons is not necessarily a short timer, but I think you're certainly leaning closer to his time coming to a close here than, you know, him taking over as a starting point guard for the rest of his career.
Right.
Jeremy Grant, we talked about it earlier in the show. Teams are calling on him, but the Trailblazers aren't giving him away.
Right.
Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
For everybody's like, Jeremy Grant has no value. Jeremy Grant has value.
Yes, he does.
That's why teams are calling on him, and they want him, and that's why the Trailblazers are like, we want more, because we know we have multiple teams calling on him.
Right.
Like, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Matisse Thybulle, he's a guy I've heard could be moved. You know, the Dallas Mavericks offered him a contract sheet last year. He cannot be traded to them for a year from the time that he signed that offer sheet
right.
on the restricted free agency, which I believe is June 6th or 7th, if I remember right.
Or July
6th or 7th. I can't remember the exact date. I'm just going off memory. It's all blurry.
Uh-huh.
DeAndre Ayton is a guy that could be had. Robert Williams is a guy that has been reportedly actively shopped. And Duop Reith, I love WAP. One of the coolest and best stories in the entire league, coming from war-torn South Sudan, immigrating to Australia, becoming a member of the Australian national team. Him and Matisse Thybulle will play together for the Australian national team here in a month. Like, but does Duop Reith factor into the Blazers' decisions over the long term?
Right.
No.
He's a nice ancillary piece.
He's the third big man, and he's 28 years old. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to say that I don't like him and I don't respect him. But if you're talking about holistic roster building, is he going to be here in 4 years?
I'd say probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, who among Scoot, Shaedon, Denny, Donovan is going to be here in 4 years? And I think you probably put Tumani, Jabari, Chris, Ryan kind of in that same group.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those, because that's what, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9? That's 9 players.
Yeah.
How many of those 9 players are going to be here in 4 years of the young guys?
Mm-hmm.
The safe number is probably 3.
Okay.
Let's set the over under is probably 3.5. That's probably the over under.
Uh-huh.
If you look at roster turnover around the league, most rosters turnover like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
You just don't realize it.
Well, so Klingon's going to get, what, is it going to be a 4-year deal with that fourth year being a team option?
Fifth year team option. And the Blazers will essentially have 9 years of control with restricted free agency, 5 and 4.
Right.
Tumani, because he's a second-round draft pick, there's a year less on that. Same Jabari, his contract is also non-guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Chris Murray's a first-round draft pick, so they have 9 years, 8 more years of control.
Right.
Avdia's on a 4-year deal, and then obviously Shaedon is due for his extension. He's extension eligible this year.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's going into year 3.
So we need to see something this year.
Yes.
And we can't afford a lot of injuries.
No. And yeah. Scoot Henderson obviously is in year 2 of what will be potentially a 5-year deal.
Well, I think as far as like, you know, your Jabari and Tumani and Banton, Rupaire, maybe not so much Rupaire as the previous three. I think we need to see, and it seems like Jabari made a bit of a leap last year, but we need to see how much more they can develop this season, because even still, I guess, you know, you had, once the injuries hit everybody, you did have Kamara and Banton, you know, starting and playing major roles, but like on a good team, how much of a role are they going to play unless they develop considerably more. I mean, I realize we're still a few years out from Portland being a good team.
And I think that's what Joe Corona talked about last night was the whole, we are in the talent acquisition phase. Do we have that audio?
Yep.
Okay, let's go to that real quick.
Just, we're still in such a talent acquisition mode that we're not super concerned about who's playing ahead of who or who's playing next to who. It was more for Donovan. It was obviously get a really talented guy who addresses some huge needs for us, specifically, you know, like we said, the rim protection, the defense, the rebounding, the offensive rebounding. You know, part of this is we're building a competitive culture. We want these guys to come in and compete and, you know, earn whatever minutes and roles they get. And, you know, when you're a rebuilding team like we are and you're trying to take that next step, you know, we need guys that are capable of coming in and winning jobs. And that's what we're looking forward to, is just being more competitive.
I mentioned this yesterday. This is the scene from Batman. Joker breaks the pool cue and says, whoever comes out, comes out.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people like, how will DeAndre Ayton act about this? How will so-and-so, what will their response be? It better be get your ass in gear.
Yeah.
We tend to forget that this is professional sports.
Yeah. Like, they're not the only guys in this situation. This happens
across the league.
Exactly. Every year. Yeah.
And Joe's right there. We're like, we want to create an environment of competition in the, you better figure this out, because if not, the dude behind you is coming for your job.
Yep.
That's the reality of professional sports. Everyone wants to be like, you know, you want guys to really, you know, bond and come together. Sure. Yeah. But it's also a dog eat dog world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get your mind right, you lose your job, you lose your check. And once you bounce out of the league, you don't get back in.
Right.
The reason why Dante Exum's story is so crazy is because it never happens.
Yeah.
What happens is once you're in the league, you get to bounce around for a little while. But once you fall out, you don't get to come back. Because go full Will Smith. There's new hotness. New hotness is always right there. Old and busted.
Old and busted.
New hotness. New hotness is always there. Old and busted, nobody wants. So Dante Exum goes overseas, fixes his jump shot, and says, bet, I'm going to come back, and I've retooled my game. I'm going to be a defensive stopper. I'm no longer going to be like point guard Dante, where I'm running offenses. I can knock down threes. I can play defense, but I could also be a secondary playmaker and give you some rim pressure. And I have changed my game. I have adopted. I have accepted a role that I was not willing to accept, and I mentally, physically, emotionally, I got right. And now he was a key part of a Dallas Mavericks team that went to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Those are the exceptions, exactly. Not the rules. So you look at these opportunities and all these different cases popping up left, right, and center of, well, this guy's taking this guy's job, and this guy feels this way about this, then make sure it's your job.
Yeah.
Look, and you
go out there and compete your ass off.
Look, and you want a healthy level of competition.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want guys downright fighting all the time.
Right.
Because, there's a difference between throwing two stakes in the cage,
mm-hmm,
and one stake in the cage.
Yes.
And I think when you throw two stakes in the cage, you know, you're not fighting for every last scrap,
uh-huh,
to where you create hostility. And I'm maybe using like a caged animal metaphor isn't the best idea, but like, you understand what I'm saying here.
No,
like,
absolutely.
This is the situation where you're trying to breed healthy competition. Not like, because there's a lot of politics and there's a lot of emotions and there's a lot of ego in all this. And you can't just run it like Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
That's also not, you can't go that direction too. You do have to keep the people aspect part of this. And one thing I do want to address that we really haven't talked about with Donovan Clingan is Donovan Clingan, for all intents and purposes, a great dude. All of the evaluators, all of the scouts, everybody out there, mm-hmm, has regaled me with, like, I know Donovan, I've worked with Donovan, I've talked to Donovan, he's a wonderful human. And the Portland Trailblazers, regardless of what you think, I believe it matters. They have made a conscious effort of bringing in good people.
Yeah. Well, I think by now a lot of people have probably seen that package they've been running on ESPN about, you know, following his mother's death and that, that kind of refocused him.
Yeah, of course, ESPN talking about a family member dying during during your draft. I just... we do have a trade to report. Denver is trading Reggie Jackson to the Charlotte Hornets for three unprotected second-round picks, but there's a new version of this post. Denver's trading Reggie Jackson to Charlotte trading Reggie Jackson to Charlotte with three unprotected second-round picks. Oh. That is different.
Yes.
Okay. So it costs three second-round picks to get off of $5 million.
Man.
That's a spicy meatball.
Yes, it is.
There you go. Well, Reggie Jackson opted into his $5 million contract. The Nuggets said, well, we're cheap, so we're going to get you out of here. Along that same line, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has opted out and become a free agent. The Denver Nuggets dynasty that so many in Denver thought might be there might be over before it got started.
Mm-hmm. And his player option was $15.4 million.
Yeah, he's getting more than that. And it definitely sounds like it's going to be Philadelphia. We'll see how that shakes out.
All right, coming up next, more Blazers talk coming up on this Best of Danny and Dusty edition. Mainly answering the question, at least Danny and Rusty are, will the Blazers trade Jeremy Grant specifically to the LA Lakers? That's next on 1080 The Fan. A Yacht Rock Best of edition of Danny and Dusty here on 1080 The Fan. Happy Friday. Happy post-July 4th. Hope you're all staying cool out there. Danny and Dusty are gone, enjoying the holiday with y'all. And we are playing some segments that they've already done here on 1080 The Fan. Let's dive into a Danny and Rusty conversation about the Blazers' young core now that we know after the NBA draft who is a part of that. Concerning the additions of Donovan Clingan and Denny Avdija going forward for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Last night on the Jack Ramsey's Patreon, I wrote a semi-in-depth piece coming out of the press conference last night talking about the Portland Trail Blazers taking steps to move forward. And it appears that that's kind of been done simply based on how things are shaping up right now. If you take a look at the 24 and under crew, that consists of Scoot Henderson, Shaden Sharp, Denny Avdija, Ryan Rupaire, Tumani Kamara, Jabari Walker, Chris Murray, Donovan Clingan, otherwise known as a point guard, a shooting guard, two forwards, and then three bigger forwards and a center. The remaining players, Anthony Simons, 25, Delano Benton, 25, Jeremy Grant, 30, Matisse Thybulle, 27, DeAndre Ayton, 26, Robert Williams, 3rd, 27, Duop Reith, 28. That appears to be very, very, very clear delineations of the here and now and the future.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it appears that's the way they're going with this. And we played the audio earlier of Joe Cronin talking about going forward with Shaden Sharp and Scoot Henderson. And I think that kind of was the first time we've set that situation. Understanding that the organization has now kind of put that out there, I think we can take the step forward. I think you can say that, you know, Anthony Simons is not necessarily a short timer, but I think you're certainly leaning closer to his time coming to a close here than, you know, him taking over as a starting point guard for the rest of his career.
Right.
Jeremy Grant, we talked about it earlier in the show. Teams are calling on him, but the Trailblazers aren't giving him away.
Right.
Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
For everybody's like, Jeremy Grant has no value. Jeremy Grant has value.
Yes, he does.
That's why teams are calling on him, and they want him, and that's why the Trailblazers are like, we want more, because we know we have multiple teams calling on him.
Right.
Like, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Matisse Thybulle, he's a guy I've heard could be moved. You know, the Dallas Mavericks offered him a contract sheet last year. He cannot be traded to them for a year from the time that he signed that offer sheet on the restricted free agency, which I believe is June 6th or 7th, if I remember right.
Or July
6th or 7th. I can't remember the exact date. I'm just going off memory. It's all blurry.
Uh-huh.
DeAndre Ayton is a guy that could be had. Robert Williams is a guy that has been reportedly actively shopped. And Duop Reith, I love WAP. One of the coolest and best stories in the entire league, coming from war-torn South Sudan, immigrating to Australia, becoming a member of the Australian national team. Him and Matisse Thybulle will play together for the Australian national team here in a month. Like, but does Duop Reith factor into the Blazers' decisions over the long term?
Right.
No.
He's a nice ancillary piece.
He's the third big man, and he's 28 years old. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to say that I don't like him and I don't respect him. But if you're talking about holistic roster building, is he going to be here in 4 years?
I'd say probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, who among Scoot, Shaden, Denny, Donovan is going to be here in 4 years? And I think you probably put Tumani, Jabari, Chris, Ryan, kind of in that same group. Mm-hmm. How many of those, because that's what, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9? That's 9 players.
Yeah.
How many of those 9 players are going to be here in 4 years of the young guys?
Mm-hmm.
The safe number is probably 3.
Okay.
Let's set the over-under is probably 3.5. That's probably the over-under.
Uh-huh.
If you look at roster turnover around the league, most rosters turnover like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
You just don't realize it.
Well, so Klingon's going to get, what, is it going to be a 4-year deal with that fourth year being a team option?
Fifth-year team option. And the Blazers will essentially have 9 years of control with the restricted free agency, 5 and 4.
Right.
Tumani, because he's a second-round draft pick, there's a year less on that. Same Jabari, his contract is also non-guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Chris Murray's a first-round draft pick, so they have 9 years, 8 more years of control.
Right.
Avdija is on a 4-year deal, and then obviously Shaden is due for his extension. He's extension eligible this year.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's going into year 3.
So we need to see something this year.
Yes.
We can't afford a lot of injuries.
New. And yeah. Scoot Henderson obviously is in year 2 of what will be potentially a 5-year deal.
Well, I think as far as like, you know, your Jabari and Tumani and Banton, Rupaire, maybe not so much Rupaire as the previous three. I think we need to see, and it seems like Jabari made a bit of a leap last year, but we need to see how much more they can develop this season, because even still, I guess, you know, you had, once the injuries hit everybody, you did have Kamara and Banton, you know, starting and playing major roles, but like on a good team, how much of a role are they going to play unless they develop considerably more? I mean, I realize we're still a few years out from Portland being a good team.
And I think that's what Joe Cronin talked about last night, was the whole, we are in the talent acquisition phase. Do we have that audio?
Yep.
Okay, let's go to that real quick.
We're still in such a talent acquisition mode that we're not super concerned about who's playing ahead of who or who's playing next to who. It was more for Donovan. It was obviously get a really talented guy who addresses some huge needs for us, specifically, you know, like we said, the rim protection, the defense, the rebounding, the offensive rebounding. You know, part of this is we're building a competitive culture. We want these guys to come in and compete and, you know, earn whatever minutes and roles they get. And, you know, when you're a rebuilding team like we are and you're trying to take that next step, you know, we need guys that are capable of coming in and winning jobs. And that's what we're looking forward to, is just being more competitive.
I mentioned this yesterday. This is the scene from Batman. Joker breaks the pool cue and says, whoever comes out, comes out.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people like, how will DeAndre Ayton act about this? How will so-and-so, what will their response be? It better be get your ass in gear.
Yeah.
We tend to forget that this is professional sports.
Yeah. Like, they're not the only guys in this situation. This happens
across the league.
Exactly. Every year. Yeah.
And Joe's right there. We're like, we want to create an environment of competition in the, you better figure this out, because if not, the dude behind you is coming for your job.
Yep.
That's the reality of professional sports. Everyone wants to be like, you know, you want guys to really, you know, bond and come together. Sure. Yeah. But it's also a dog eat dog world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get your mind right, you lose your job, you lose your check, and once you bounce out of the league, you don't get back in.
Right.
You gotta, I mean, the reason why Dante Exum's story is so crazy is because it never happens.
Yeah.
What happens is once you're in the league, you get to bounce around for a little while. But once you fall out, you don't get to come back. Because there's new, go full Will Smith. There's new hotness. New hotness is always right there. Old and busted.
Old and busted.
New hotness. New hotness is always there. Old and busted, nobody wants. So Dante Exum goes overseas, fixes his jump shot, and says, bet. I'm going to come back, and I've retooled my game. I'm going to be a defensive stopper. I'm no longer going to be like point guard Dante where I'm running offenses. I can knock down threes. I can play defense, but I could also be a secondary playmaker and give you some rim pressure. And I have changed my game. I have adopted. I have accepted a role that I was not willing to accept, and I mentally, physically, emotionally, I got right. And now he was a key part of a Dallas Mavericks team that went to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Those are the exceptions, exactly. Not the rules. So you look at these opportunities and all these different cases popping up left, right, and center of, well, this guy's taking this guy's job, and this guy feels this way about this. Then make sure it's your job.
Yeah.
Look, and you
go out there and compete your ass off.
Look, and you want a healthy level of competition. Mm-hmm. You don't want guys downright fighting all the time.
Right.
Because, there's a difference between throwing two stakes in the cage and one stake in the cage.
Yes.
And I think when you throw two stakes in the cage, you know, you're not fighting for every last scrap to where you create hostility. And I maybe using like a caged animal metaphor isn't the best idea, but like you understand what I'm saying here.
No,
like,
absolutely.
This is the situation where you're trying to breed healthy competition. Not like, because there's a lot of politics and there's a lot of emotions and there's a lot of ego in all this. And you can't just run it like Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
That's also not, you can't go that direction too. You do have to keep the people aspect part of this. And one thing I do want to address that we really haven't talked about with Donovan Clingan is Donovan Clingan, for all intents and purposes, a great dude. All of the evaluators, all of the scouts, everybody out there has regaled me with like, I know Donovan. I've worked with Donovan. I've talked to Donovan. He's a wonderful human. And the Portland Trailblazers, regardless of what you think, I believe it matters. They have made a conscious effort of bringing in good people.
Yeah. Well, I think by now a lot of people have probably seen that package they've been running on ESPN about, you know, following his mother's death and that, how that kind of refocused him.
Yeah, of course, ESPN talking about a family member dying during a draft. I just... meh. We do have a trade to report. Denver is trading Reggie Jackson to the Charlotte Hornets for three unprotected second round picks, but there's a new version of this post. Denver's trading Reggie Jackson to Charlotte trading Reggie Jackson to Charlotte with three unprotected second round picks. Oh. That is different.
Yes.
Okay. So it costs 3 second round picks to get off of $5 million.
Man,
that's a spicy meatball.
Yes, it is.
There you go. Well, Reggie Jackson opted into his $5 million contract. The Nuggets said, well, we're cheap, so we're going to get you out of here. Along that same line, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has opted out and become a free agent. The Denver Nuggets dynasty that so many in Denver thought might be there might be over before it got started.
Mm-hmm. And his player option was $15.4 million.
Yeah, he's getting more than that. And it definitely sounds like it's going to be Philadelphia. We'll see how that shakes out.
All right, coming up next, more Blazers talk coming up on this Best of Danny and Dusty edition. Mainly answering the question, at least Danny and Rusty are, will the Blazers trade Jeremy Grant specifically to the LA Lakers? That's next on 1080 The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.